The opinions and ideas conveyed in this podcast are intended for informational purposes only. Always consult a physician concerning changes to diet, exercise, or general health concerns. Welcome to the podcast series To Change the Subject, where we have difficult conversations about one of the nation's number one killers, heart disease. If you are interested in learning more about a topic, please contact us.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into the fascinating world of heart health and stroke. You've sent us a bunch of sources on this, and it's clear you're ready to get beyond the basics.
Absolutely. We're going to explore why understanding your heart is so crucial and try to demystify some of those medical terms surrounding stroke.
Yeah, it's like having the keys to the engine room of your body, right? And I have to admit, when I hear cardiovascular health, sometimes it's like it goes in one ear and out the other.
It can sound a bit clinical.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think of it this way. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day, pumping blood through this complex network of blood vessels. It's like a highway system, but instead of cars, it's oxygen and nutrients going to every single cell in your body.
Wow, 100,000 times a day. No wonder it's considered the hardest working muscle. But like any complex system, things can go wrong. And that's where things like heart disease and stroke come into play.
That's right. And unfortunately, these are leading causes of death globally. But the good news is understanding the system is the first step to protecting it.
Knowledge is power, as they say. So let's talk about stroke. It's often called a brain attack, which honestly sounds terrifying. What exactly is happening in the brain when someone has a stroke?
It is a serious condition for sure. Essentially, a part of the brain gets cut off from its blood supply, like a crucial road closure on that highway we talked about. And because blood carries oxygen, which brain cells need to survive, those cells start to die.
And that damage can have like a domino effect on the body, right? Affecting everything from speech and movement to memory and even like really basic bodily functions.
Precisely. And the severity of the impact depends on a few factors, including what type of stroke it is and how quickly someone receives treatment, which is a great segue into our next point, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Our sources focus on three main types: ischemic, hemorrhagic, and TIA. Let's break those down, starting with ischemic stroke, which I understand is the most common.
You've been doing your homework. An ischemic stroke occurs when a blood clot forms, kind of like a clog in a pipe, blocking blood flow to a part of the brain. And even a short interruption can cause serious damage.
Okay, that makes sense. And our sources mentioned two main culprits behind these blockages, thrombotic and embolic strokes. So it's not always a clot originating in the brain that causes the problem.
That's a really important point. With thrombotic stroke, the clot forms directly in one of the brain's blood vessels. But with embolic stroke, the clot actually forms elsewhere in the body and travels to the brain, eventually causing a blockage. It's like a tiny troublemaker on a mission.
Wow, that's a great way to put it. Okay, so that's ischemic stroke. Now, what about hemorrhagic stroke?
Well, picture this. Instead of a blockage, imagine a pipe bursting. That's essentially what happens with a hemorrhagic stroke. A blood vessel in the brain ruptures. This causes bleeding and a sudden increase in pressure on the brain tissue, which, as you can imagine, isn't good.
Ouch, that sounds intense. And if ischemic stroke is like a roadblock, hemorrhagic stroke is like a major earthquake on the brain's highway system.
A very fitting analogy. And because of that sudden, significant damage, hemorrhagic strokes are often more severe than ischemic strokes, though thankfully they are less common.
Okay, that makes sense. Now we've also got TIA, or a transient ischemic attack, which is often referred to as a mini stroke. Is that as scary as it sounds?
It can be scary, but thankfully it's usually temporary. TIAs are like brief flickers in the lights where blood flow to the brain is interrupted only for a short time. And while the symptoms can mimic a full-blown stroke, they typically disappear quickly as blood flow returns to normal.
So like a warning sign, a little blip in the system that something might be off.
Exactly. And even though the symptoms go away, it's crucial to get checked out by a doctor if you experience them, because a TIA is a major red flag that a more serious stroke could be on the horizon.
So even though the symptoms of a TIA are temporary, it's like getting a sneak peek at what a full-blown stroke might feel like. Definitely not something to ignore.
Exactly. Think of it like this. If you were driving and your car suddenly like veered off course for a second before snapping back, you wouldn't just keep driving as if nothing happened, right? You'd want to get it checked out to see what caused the problem.
That's a great analogy. It really puts it into perspective. So we've covered the different types of stroke, but let's go back and unpack those a bit more. Starting with ischemic strokes, the blockage type. What are some of the specifics that determine how serious they are?
You're right. Let's dig a little deeper. With ischemic strokes, the location of the blockage and what the clot is actually made of play a big role in how the brain is affected.
Okay, so with thrombotic ischemic strokes, those are the ones where the clot forms directly in the brain's blood vessels, right? What causes that type of blockage?
Well, our sources point to something called atherosclerosis as a major culprit. Imagine a pipe, and over time, gunk starts to build up on the inside, making the space narrower and narrower. That's similar to what happens with atherosclerosis. It's the buildup of fatty deposits, cholesterol, and other substances on the artery walls, restricting blood flow and increasing the risk of a clot forming.
So it's like the arteries are slowly getting clogged up, increasing the risk of a full-blown blockage. And that's where lifestyle factors like diet and exercise come into play, right?
Absolutely. This is where understanding the why behind heart health becomes so crucial for stroke prevention. A healthy diet and regular exercise can actually help prevent or manage atherosclerosis, which in turn can dramatically reduce the risk of a thrombotic stroke. It's like keeping those pipes clean and clear.
I love that analogy. So it's not just about treating the problem, it's about preventing it in the first place. Now, what about embolic strokes? Those are the ones where the clot travels to the brain, right?
That's right. Imagine a piece of debris breaking loose and getting carried downstream until it eventually gets stuck, causing a blockage. The clot can originate from various parts of the body, but a common source is the heart itself, particularly in people with a condition called atrial fibrillation.
Atrial fibrillation. It rings a bell. It's a type of irregular heartbeat, isn't it?
Exactly. This irregular heart rhythm can cause blood to pool in the heart, increasing the risk of clots forming. And if a clot breaks free, it can travel to the brain, causing an embolic stroke.
So even though the problem appears in the brain, the root cause might be somewhere else entirely. It highlights how interconnected our body systems really are.
You got it. Everything is connected. Now, shifting gears to hemorrhagic stroke, where we're talking about a blood vessel actually rupturing, what makes this type so serious?
Well, going back to your earlier analogy, if we think of a burst pipe, the damage seems like it would be immediate and much more severe than just a blockage.
That's a great way to think about it. The sudden bleeding into the brain puts immense pressure on the surrounding tissue, which damages brain cells and disrupts their function. And the location and extent of the bleed ultimately determine the severity of the stroke and its long-term impact.
Our sources mention two main types of hemorrhagic stroke, intracerebral and subarachnoid. What's the difference between these two?
Think of your house again. An intracerebral hemorrhage is like a leak within the walls of your house. It happens when a blood vessel within the brain itself bursts, flooding the surrounding brain tissue with blood. This type is often linked to uncontrolled high blood pressure, which weakens blood vessel walls over time.
So again, it circles back to maintaining healthy blood pressure levels. Huh? What about subarachnoid hemorrhage? Where does the leak happen in our house analogy?
A subarachnoid hemorrhage is more like a leak in the roof. It involves bleeding into the space between the brain and the delicate tissues that cover it, called the meninges. And one of the primary culprits behind this type of hemorrhage is a ruptured aneurysm.
Aneurysm. Oh, that's another one of those medical terms we hear often but might not fully understand.
It's basically a weak spot in a blood vessel wall that balloons out, making it prone to bursting. Imagine a balloon being inflated too much pressure, and it pops.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's a weakened area that's susceptible to rupturing under pressure. This deep dive is really helping connect the dots for me. We've covered these different types of stroke in detail, but what about the mini stroke, the TIA? What makes it mini? So if other types of stroke are like major plumbing disasters in the brain, a TIA is more like a brief dip in water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything seems fine for a moment, but it's still a sign to like check for any underlying issues, right?
Exactly. A TIA is a temporary blockage of blood flow to the brain, just like an ischemic stroke. But the difference is that with a TIA, that blockage is fleeting and blood flow is restored quickly, usually within minutes.
So the mini in mini stroke refers to the duration, not necessarily the severity of the symptoms right then and there, right?
Precisely. The symptoms of a TIA can be just as alarming as a full-blown stroke, including sudden weakness, numbness, confusion, vision problems, or difficulty speaking. But the key takeaway here is that even though those symptoms disappear quickly, it's absolutely critical to seek medical attention immediately.
Because even though it's a temporary blip, it's still like a huge red flag that something more serious is going on, like you were saying earlier.
Absolutely. Consider a TIA, your body sounding the alarm, urging you to take action and address the underlying issue before a more serious event occurs.
So ignoring a TIA is like hitting the snooze button on a potentially life-altering wake-up call.
Exactly. It's like ignoring that check engine light in your car. It might be fine for a while, but eventually ignoring it could lead to a major breakdown.
And in this case, the consequences could be devastating. This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening. We've covered the different types of strokes, their causes, the link to heart health, and the importance of recognizing those warning signs. So what's the key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with today?
I think the main takeaway here is that knowledge is your most powerful tool when it comes to protecting your brain health. Understanding your personal risk factors, making healthy lifestyle choices, and knowing the signs of a stroke can truly make a world of difference.
So diet, exercise, managing stress levels, those are all essential for both heart and brain health.
Absolutely. It's all interconnected. It's not just about adding years to your life, but adding life to your years.
I love that. And knowing the signs of a stroke and acting fast is crucial. We'll be sure to link to some resources in the show notes for our listeners. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this deep dive?
Well, you've gained a solid understanding of heart health and stroke and why it matters specifically for you. But here's something else to consider. We often focus on the physical aspects of health, but how much do you know about your family's history of heart disease?
That's a great point. Our family history can provide invaluable insights into our own health risks. We'll be sure to include resources on exploring family health history in the show notes as well.
It's a journey of discovery that can be empowering.
Absolutely. Well, this has been an incredibly informative deep dive. Until next time, keep asking those insightful questions.